Now you're up.
Okay, welcome to this week's Linux Open Linux User Group. Today is Thursday, October 2nd, 2008. Hello. How are we doing?
Good.
Good?
Good.
Is anybody around here? Okay, Dave. Okay, so did we do anything fun last week?
Wow.
Not everybody? One at a time, please.
Yeah, I got into my X10 again.
You have X10? What's
yep.
that?
X10 is remote control of your home appliances and other stuff. And got ahead of my laptop with Ubuntu on it, that was doing my SSH through and doing web thing. But the KU is the X10 software. And now I can like sit right here and I can just type in a command and turn my lights on at my home. And
that's so cheesy.
How much did those cost?
The X10 modules, you can get a starter kit for around $50 that will include your remote control, like two plug-in outlets, and a lamp module. And so you basically control like three things. And each, like for example, a lamp module that only controls the incandescent lights, that's probably about $13. You know.
Was your friend?
No, they don't carry it anymore. They carried it for probably about a month, and then it sort of disappeared. There's an X10 website. And you'll see it mostly with security cameras, but they've got X10 component things, and there's a couple other places that sell them too. But I've had these for a while, and now my lights come on again like they used to, where they come on at dusk and they go off like at 11:30, and I can set remotes that I can walk up the stairs and I'll turn a sequence of lights on. And
that's so cheesy.
Yeah, it is. And then now that I got on the laptop, it also logs everything that goes on. So any devices that are controlled, like if someone hits a light switch or something like that, it logs that. So I can tell when things turned on, when things turned off. I've got motion detectors. It'll tell when those turns on and off.
Big Brother's watching.
Yep.
Do you have motion detectors so the lights will turn on?
Actually, I got one that turns on when I go upstairs. So you're coming home, I walk through the garage, it'll detect my light motion, and then it'll turn on the lights, and then they turn off after about 3 minutes because then I'm already upstairs.
So you can watch when your dog is drinking from a jug.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Good.
He knows. He's got a record of it.
Yeah,
that's right. I got a record.
Yeah. Drinking for 2 minutes.
But it's sort of nice now because also the same kit comes with the remote control wireless antenna thing. That thing also stores the stuff. So any macros or things that you built are stored in this module, you can turn off the PC and walk away and just let it run from that point on. And it'll just continue to run. So it looks pretty good.
I'm looking at that, and the only bad thing about it is the bandwidth is horrendous on that thing for speed to these devices.
Yeah, it's very slow.
Anything except for turn devices on.
No, yeah, there's no real-time type thing in there.
The bandwidth was about 20 bits per second.
Yeah, it is. And when I hit it, there's like a maybe a half a second to a second delay before that will go on.
Yeah.
The bad part about X10 is there, for most X10 stuff, there's no acknowledgement that the actual activity happened.
Nope.
So that's the other bad portion. They have a new standard out. Forget what it's called, Insteon. Insteon works like a wireless repeater network. So every device will repeat through your house. So you can send a signal. It runs off of the power. You can send a signal, and if that device gets it, it will repeat it, and then that device. And so the more devices you have, the more accurate and the faster things react. Except the only problem with that is those modules are about twice as expensive.
13?
Yeah.
26?
Yeah. 26 is the lowest amount.
Can
I afford it? Yeah, I don't want to afford it. I mean, for a light switch for $30, no.
I was actually looking at the schematics for those.
Uh-huh.
Trying to figure out exactly how they worked. And what it is, you know, the AC wave,
yep,
in between, every time it
hits the zero point,
it either adds a high frequency wave or doesn't add a high frequency wave. And then what it'll do is for every point, it'll be high-frequency wave, no wave, or no wave, high-frequency wave. So that's kind of your your one and zero.
Yeah. It is. It works okay. You know, it works decent once you get it set up right and stuff like that. But I'm sure that Insteon stuff is much better stuff. You know, you can do full dimming and scene capabilities and stuff like that. You can dim with this thing too and stuff. But it's cool now that it's hooked up to my laptop and I can log the stuff and control it. And,
do you have cameras?
And I don't have to use Windows.
Like,
I actually do have an external camera though, and I'm except it doesn't run into the laptop that I have on all the time because it's only USB 1 on my old laptop.
So what I was looking at it for was somehow getting a thermometer in every room and then having the
control the furnace.
Based on that.
They're supposed to have some temperature modules and stuff that, because I was reading the HeyU documentation and they showed all the temperature stuff.
Wouldn't you have to have actually every room on different temperature zone?
Not necessarily, depending on what you want to do.
Yeah, you could average your temperatures or...
For instance, if you have a multi-level house and it's 30 degrees colder in the basement than it is upstairs, you don't want to turn the AC on, you just want to circulate the air. So you turn the fan on. If it starts getting warmer, then you want to turn the AC on. If it's colder outside, well, you don't want to turn the AC on, even though it's hot. You want to open the window. So
it opens the window?
You
can't. They've got shade pullers.
Yes.
You can hook them up to open your curtains automatically.
I was looking at a Hackscene article the other day about you can take the stepper motors out of your old floppy drives, and you can use that to power like robotic stuff. And if you,
the four spinning.
Yep, little stepper motors that you can control very precisely. And they were talking about possibly doing something with like the Arduino.
Okay. That's what you're using, aren't you?
Do you have
a Arduino controller or something? One of those little mini...
You can get those now with the networking port. And you can, they're easily coded, so you can make your own controller.
Okay.
You're using a what?
Atmel. It's a microcontroller manufacturer. But, I mean, you could run a stepper motor straight, almost right off of a parallel port. Pretty easily.
Actually, yeah. They had a basic design for controlling a stepper motor.
It's not hard at all. You can do most of it in software if you want, instead of having to go through and do an actual controller and hardware.
I read yesterday, it feels kind of sick. That's
interesting.
Yeah.
So you could use Linux MCE on that?
Oh, yeah, I'm a lot better today.
Yeah, Linux MCE has support for X10. I think MIPTV has rudimentary support for X10 as well.
Yeah, they do. They do, because you also have the RF remote control, too, that you can interface with it and stuff. And they do have X10 built in. It's getting to be an older protocol and not as supported, but the HeyU program is so simple and there's really hardly any compiling to do to get into any installation. It's fairly easy to do. It just has to work through a serial port. That's the hardest part.
Cool. Really?
It will control one that's like a USB to serial dongle. So that's how it works with that. So you turn off the control lines and stuff, and then you can work through the USB. Other than that, I wiped out my EPC and put in the Intrepid version on there, and seems to be working snappier.
Living on the edge.
Living on the edge. Hey.
I got burned last time.
No, it's been working really well. It's snappier than the old OS.
I'm going to wait for the time. Beta's over.
30 more days.
Yeah. Cool. Well, glad to see you again.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, because I'll be back.
That's great.
Probably
busy, but back.
Well, we were waiting for you for the Software Freedom Day that you would be there to take the CDs, when we take.
Yeah, I was actually at a funeral during that time, so.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, things happen.
Yeah. Cool. How about you, Elliot?
Tried to resurrect an old PC I have, but it didn't get very far. It just, I don't know what's going on with it. You turn the board on and all the lights just stay on constant and it doesn't even post.
Give us a hint.
That's like in my head. All the lights on, nobody's on.
She's a teacher. She's an assistant teacher.
Couldn't pass. Sorry.
That was about it for me. I've been pretty busy this week with school.
She said,
oh, everything's going okay at school?
Yeah, it's actually going well.
If you see it, you know, she was
doing some interesting things.
But anyways,
Ryan's PhD figuring out how to minimize the need for like server or multiple servers in like a corporate environment by routing different network services to all of your subnets.
Cool. That's something what I do not understand. Network. No. Stay away.
I also, that one's actually pretty exciting. I had an interview with Rossbach Communications this week.
Where are they?
Yeah, they're locally owned. They've been around since, I guess, like 57. They do a lot of two-way radio communication, but they're trying to get into more network-type applications for, like, wireless networking. They're even thinking about Motorola's coming out with a new wireless WAN-type service that they, I think, if I understood them correctly, want to start up in Eau Claire, something like Clearwire. And they actually asked me if I felt comfortable going down to Illinois and training on this new application and going back to be their lead person on the project.
Yeah, good night.
Nice opportunity.
Bye.
So how do they feel competing with Clearwire?
I didn't really get in depth with them at all.
I don't run it. I just think it's kind of tough business to be in.
Yeah, really I'm sure it is.
Get there.
I'm sure it's very difficult.
Yeah. Cool.
But I don't know. I'm not even sure I understood what they were talking about exactly.
You will. You will.
All
you
that matters is if they get your paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. Remember exactly. That. That's what matters.
Yes. Right. You just fumble through and it might work. And if it doesn't work, you call technical support. Oh, that's supposed to be you.
Why not?
Oh, I can fix anything. No, no worries about it.
Cool. How about Mr. Recorder?
What's the word this week?
Why do you want to raise the
cost? Playing with Fedora 10.
You're at 10.
How is that?
I'm trying to get used to the icon. I don't know.
Get used to the icon.
Garbage can is what, blue?
Blue and black.
Blue and black. And
isn't Vista sort of blue and black? Or maybe that's...
It's all clear, I think.
It's, yeah, it's
all
clear,
very
glassy.
Cartoony and curvy. And
I don't like the cartoony ones.
On some point, I kind of like it, but then at other times, it just looks kind of cheesy.
Childish? That's what I think.
Overall, though, it looks really nice. Playing with the new version of Nautilus with my tabs and firewalls.
How do you like that?
I've been using Pac-Man for a while just to do the tab browsing.
Yeah.
But, Nolan has a pretty good implementation of it. Looking forward to that, and Intrepid as well.
So you don't care about spatial feature of Nautilus?
First thing to turn off.
Spatial
feature? When you go from one directory to another directory, it opens up Nautilus.
Oh, God, I hate that.
It's still a default Fedora 10, still.
Because that's the only default.
I think that's one thing I do like about Fedora, is you don't have all these custom integrations. For the most part, they take GNOME and they take Fedora and KDE.
I thought custom integrations were fine.
Custom integrations,
Like
Yast or what?
Well, it's nice polish. That's all.
Like Yast is a nice polish there. So.
Yep, another sound system.
Yes, it's like they dump the whole thing in a shoe polish.
Nice and polished plastic car, and I come through with my big cast iron metal truck. We'll see who's.
Well, but the only difference is that you will never make it where I am with your gasoline cast iron toy car.
Anyways, so yeah, I played with a Intrepid a little bit too, but. Trying to like KDE again, but I just don't. So
I just don't.
It's clunky. So and that. What else did I show you? The Amahi. Did you put it in the newsletter next week? But
yeah, don't talk about it. It's a secret right now.
What's the word? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I don't know anything else.
What was the word?
It was secret.
Amahi. A M A H I.
Oh, I cannot go there.
You might as well.
So the jig is out.
Yeah. A lot of money. That's all I had to talk about. It's my only cards.
You'll have to talk about the same thing next week.
Find something. Installing an operating system from my phone.
So here is your Amahi.
It's based on Fedora 8, and it's they've got their own custom repository. You link it up to it. It basically sets up for you a DHCP server, VPN, dynamic DNS. And they get a bunch of other apps you can do point-click installs. So
I'll help you.
You do a basic, bare bones Fedora 8 install, and then you
file sharing.
You put their repositories in it, and then you run their install script, and you've got to sign up on their website with an account, and that's kind of where you enter in what domain name you want, and there's just a little wizard you walk through. They give you a code at the end of your wizard on the website that you enter in on the command on your PC to start it up.
Search your stuff. Maybe that's what we should have on our drive.
Yep. So, you've got indexed your stuff. They've got calendar integration here to all the stuff. And the neat thing is it sets up the server for you.
With all the features that people generally ask for or try to put in anyway.
Like most of the stuff I've played with before, like an app here, an app there, they usually take me a week to figure them out.
Does this actually act as the router, or is it just a server? It's the router, too.
The DHCP server.
Okay,
DHCP, DNS. Okay. So.
So you don't have to have a powerful router at home or anything.
So all I did at home is I had to turn off the DHCP on my router, and then this took its place instantly without any problems. Yes, they did have instructions on how to turn the DHCP off.
You unplug the server.
No.
Wireless.
Well, that's sort of neat.
But yeah, I stumbled upon this looking at. I've been playing with something called PBA, Personal Backup Assistant, and it's a virtual machine that you can image your hard drives over the network and restore them and whatnot. But the guy who runs that. I noticed in one of his forum posts he references
this. It's all web interface, too, huh?
Yep, it gives you a web interface to access your. You can do user account management through the web interface on the server itself.
Does it create a domain?
Yep. You tell it the domain you want to use, and then. It's an actual, honest to God, domain.
Like what type of. Like LDAP?
Yeah.
What protocol is it using?
LDAP is for authentication.
Yeah, this is
open.
LDAP is a net like a
keep going down
domain type. That's the closest Linux comes to a domain type structure. It's like LDAP.
Keep going down. None of that. This is an open source.
How do you log in?
To
what? When you open up a browser, is it something like when you open a browser? It
defaults to HDA, is the name of the machine.
Could be even a Windows domain.
How do you log in from a workstation?
To the web interface?
To the web, like you said, to create user accounts.
Well, you could share files. If you could share files, how would a client access the server?
From outside of your home network.
No, from within, but this is a server. It's got all your files on, but you've got another.
They set up a Samba share.
Samba?
Yeah.
There it is.
How does it log into the domain?
The domain is set up, and
it'll just show up as a network. They're showing.
When I set this up, I went on the web and I picked the domain name that I wanted to use. So I picked adamandrea.net, and when this set up and started up DHCP, every machine on my home network showed up on my router now as whatever the machine name was .adamandrea.net. So it was an honest to God. It set up an actual domain, which I've never been patient
LCL.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just setting up the domain in DNS, then probably.
Yep.
You could actually set it up with your actual domain, and you could probably use that.
Yep, on the,
Because you do have, technically, you do have a domain name for your public IP address.
I have to try that one.
Yeah, so I thought there was some, they acknowledge that it's very beta. Yeah, and there was, I had some problems with some of the apps that couldn't get to work right.
There's no,
but I've got it installed in a virtual machine, which was another, I wasn't sure it was going to work because technically the machine it was running in was getting its IP address.
Oh, from the virtual machine that was hosting.
Oddly enough, it worked. I don't know. That's kind of like a chicken and egg thing. But
on a network, if you have bridge networking, that's another computer.
True.
So for a network, it's another physical computer.
I wasn't sure it was going to work, but it did. So
cool. Okay, let's get out of it because it's secret right now.
That's right. You do it
secret. You have to find something else.
Okay, I'll minimize.
Okay.
It says it's good on first level network, so pretty much anything it requests through, or anything that it requests is requested directly from the DNS.
Kurt, where are you reading this?
I'm browsing through the FAQs. This makes the network a first class network with DHCP request names automatically becoming DNS names within your chosen home.
Everybody pays taxes on it.
That's still here?
And stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's somewhere on this.
Okay.
You got to dig a little bit.
DHCP was down here.
Yeah, that would be dynamic DNS.
Do you automatically get a free version of a dynamic DNS?
No, it's HDA.com.
Your digital assistant.
Buys an advantage. Your digital, no, home digital advantage. So is this home server, is it actually competing with the Windows server?
Probably. A lot of the functions for your...
I'm sure not, because Windows server is good just to put your files which you don't need, because otherwise it will corrupt it. That's how it is good for it. That was just slam, sorry.
Maybe.
Sorry, you didn't bite.
No.
Windows doesn't corrupt your files, just itself.
This is
in my experience.
It is not corrupting.
It leaves my files alone. It just corrupts itself.
Yeah, because
reinstall it.
It is a security feature. You know, you get the time. You know, self destruction time.
Because right now they pay taxes too. You know,
hello?
Especially
what? Hello?
What?
Never mind. Cool. Anything else?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Excuses for food. Anything
that has one. Ooh. Okay, so no more fun in life.
Did some laundry last night.
Was it on Linux?
Using Fedora.
I'm still thinking of trying. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm always flirting with Fedora. I just don't know.
Yeah. But you know, it's okay. It's okay. We don't take it against you. It's actually this side of the table against that side of the table, I think.
Probably true.
No, right. Just, the only other thing is I've been using my Arika backup stuff quite a bit lately.
And everything is running okay?
Yep, I actually went through and kind of redid my backup repositories more based on their tutorial and guides. And, you know, it's a bit, you know, complicated.
Do you think that at some point you could actually do a tutorial for us?
On the Arika stuff?
Yes.
I think so. I suppose.
You suppose?
I'll just find a tutorial on their website.
Hey,
read it.
all what we want is you would tell us.
Okay.
You know?
If people are interested, yeah.
I think it would be interesting.
I think for how easy it is to install and use, it's probably the most featureful backup file backup system I've come across. Really,
better than S backup, simple backup.
Yeah, well, that's the simple backup thing requires that you know a little bit about the scheduler on it. This one is not. You're left to do it by yourself.
As well as the simple backup was Was it Python?
It comes down to making loss of bills.
It wasn't.
As long as it wasn't mono, I probably didn't have too much against it.
Does it have simple backup? I don't think they'd run on Windows or anything.
I got mad at simple backup because when I upgraded distros at one point, the version of simple backup changed and it couldn't open up the folder backup files.
That's sort of important.
They weren't compatible or something like that. It was.
When it comes time to restore and you can't restore?
What do you need to restore your backup for?
Of course not.
No, why would I need it?
I can't. Something was messed up. I think it's because it's Java is why I like it.
Java.
You run it anywhere. So. I'm going to run it on my Android phone, maybe. Let's see if I can run it on there. When
I thought it's a not real Linux user like Java.
What?
Where'd
you get that from?
I don't know.
Here's
you need to like Python.
I don't like Python.
Python and maybe Perl.
You like Perl?
No, I'm not really sure if Perl is in the lead.
Hello?
Hello?
Perl is ancient.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah? Also, you can do good stuff with it.
Yep.
Nothing good can come from Perl.
Absolutely, because you're going to beat it. You write it, and then you forget whatever you wrote.
The other 20% are okay. They can touch it. Python is a little bit more forgiving than that, because it has to look good, otherwise it won't run.
Is there any... Well, I think that I knew a person with little issues with the exception handling in...
Jacosher?
Yeah, it doesn't say anything, but it doesn't do anything.
I guess Kabang.
Kabang, yes. The Senate. Why do we have two Senate? Non-handling.
I like things that, you know, scream and moan when they blow up, not just... No.
No.
Quietly go away.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't like Python.
You know, if you have a strong typed language, then it'll yell at you when you compile. You know, that's the first line of defense.
There's so many million people in this one.
It might not be as pretty, you know, when you're writing it, but you know exactly what is going on when you compile.
Yeah,
you
want errors to happen at compile time, so it runs out.
Yes.
Because otherwise, the user would choke on it.
Each state has two.
Yes.
But
it's okay, you know. If, let's stop there. Because we have some vendors and they test, well, when it compiles, it's yours and it's tested. What did they come right now with? Somebody wrote their own custom formatter class for a month, and if the month was greater than 10, they added one to it, and that's why on October 1st it blew up. Instead of using formatter class, they wrote their own custom class, which was crap. That'll tell you. And, you know,
why put a mask on a date when you could go through some convoluted if-else case statement to pad zeros on it, right?
Well, yeah. You know, you show that you are a good programmer if you can use if and else and case.
Cast it to a char, subtract character zero, there you go.
See, and that's what it's supposed to go now.
Wait, there are no chars in Java. I'm thinking some more stuff. Sorry.
Just hope that it'll never hit October.
Cast it to a byte. There you go.
And then you move your program to Venus because it has only, you know, 10 months or 9 months.
I don't know where to put Hal.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look good anymore.
You can't do it. They,
why would you?
Never mind. That was a rant. So, how did Miss Trump,
pretty good.
Pretty good? Any patients? How many patients did you poke?
Today, only one.
Only one.
Yeah, I wasn't a main poker today.
It wasn't a poker day.
No. It comes and goes. When you work in the big lab, we don't poke all the time. If I was upstairs in the draw lab, I don't know, probably about 30 people a day you do. Mm-hmm.
I always have to lay down if somebody's poking me.
Oh, are you a painter?
Yes, I am.
It's always the guys.
Yes.
Well, it is.
What do you want? You know, we are strong, but we have to lay down.
You're strong until you see the needle, then you go, oh.
We need our blood.
Hey, 20cc's.
Yeah, 20cc's.
I am.
So what did you find?
Did you know?
Well, I signed up for this Shutterfly website. You can get pictures printed.
Do you want to have a projector?
That's not the important part.
Okay.
But when I went to try and submit my pictures to be stored online, it said, you know, they had to be in a .jpg. I'm like, okay, it's cool. So I go and, like, I open up a little thing to load my pictures, and it doesn't show my pictures. Because it had to be lowercase .jpg. And all my pictures, for some reason, were in uppercase .jpg. So I got really mad about that.
It's another fabulous programming.
Yeah, somewhere for a room custom class.
Yeah, so that was great.
And dash I on the end of the regular expression.
Yes, the end of each.
So I went and I looked around, and I found this program. It was just on my computer. It's called Freename.
Yes.
And what it'll do is it'll go through and in the directory, you just pass it a Perl, regular expression thing, which I just copied. Cause, and I went through and changed all my big
.jpg. Little .jpg. Size of the picture stay the same?
All it did was change the name.
This is the cartoon of the hero that swings out on the keyboard and saves the name.
So is it renamed?
Yeah. So just get it right in the terminal.
Or put Linux on there.
Yeah.
95%. Otherwise, you get all these Windows shareware things that Bonsai Buddy.
Yeah.
And remember, I don't know if they actually have
Bonsai Buddy, the little purple gorilla, gave you spyware.
Bonsai.
Yes, it came with other programs.
We
don't need to find that.
Wikipedia remembers Bonsai. See Bonsai Buddy.
it was a website. You could get a toolbar for it too.
I don't remember that.
It was
terrible malware. It was
in the early days of malware.
Yeah, and I think it used to crash your system all the time too.
But you could have a nice toolbar in your Internet Explorer
for a short time, anyways.
Oh no, it stayed there.
Yeah, it stayed there.
Or stayed there. You just couldn't get rid of it
until you reformatted.
Well, you know, it gave you added features by collecting your personal data.
And searching Google, I think?
I don't know.
Or it was Google linked through Bonsai?
Maybe, you know, they were actually trying to create more traffic.
But if...
let's look this way.
It is in some cases.
So was it in repository?
Yes.
It was just already installed in the computer. Like, if you go up to the terminal and just type in rename, it's probably already
GP there. Rename.
You probably just already have it.
So if I go here and say rename?
You might. No. Okay. Yep, just, it works.
It's
no, maybe you should.
Yeah.
It's
just, yeah.
Oh.
It's part of that.
You guys are tricky on me.
I said go to the terminal.
Well, what is terminal? Yeah, it is there. So if we do this, unknown option.
Dash dash. You need two dashes.
Tricky.
Man rename.
Oh,
that'll give you examples and all sorts of goodness.
If somebody wrote a manual for it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, look at that.
Cool. See, that's great.
Your manual is different than mine.
This is more advanced manual.
What meant to me is looking at the screen man pages today.
You've got the Perl programmer's reference guide. I've got the Linux programmer manual.
See, you got bigger. Never mind. Ubuntu is winning right now.
You want to take it outside?
Let's go. Did you drink that beer?
Me? No.
I did. That was delicious.
Was it?
Yeah,
it
was really good. Thanks.
It's
I have another one coming. That one is going to be much more mellow.
Yeah.
Cool. Where's the bottle?
Upstairs. Oh, speaking of, did you only want not twistable?
Non-twistable. Oh. Yes.
Well, I have that bottle to give you back.
Cool.
Yeah, Eric's wife drank beer. She said it was very good. She said it's a little dark, and then she usually likes what she likes.
Very good.
But we forgot to grab a bottle.
That's important. Because that's how I measure people right now.
We'll get it tomorrow.
We'll get it tomorrow.
I give them beer, and if they return bottle back, then they are friends. If they don't,
yeah, we didn't drink it yet. So.
It's kind of a you know.
I was a little sick, and he was a little sick.
It has that beer has a very it's a cool flavor. How about that?
Good.
It has a lot of taste.
I drink Guinness. That's what
I do. I think this one is more, it's sweeter. Than
we'll let you know next time.
Cool. All
right.
How about you, mister?
I did nothing with Linux. I've been playing with electronics.
You want to get a car, don't you?
Windows.
Well, yeah,
I do doors too.
I was running it through VirtualBox because the programming environment for this is kind of the weird thing. The programming environment is only available on Windows, and it uses the open source GCC compiler on the back end.
Nice.
So,
on the Windows, GCC.
Yeah. So it's AVR GCC for Windows that it uses on the back end. So I guess technically I could have been programming it in Linux, but then I don't get the simulator and all that stuff, which is extremely difficult with microcontrollers because you can't just run the program.
Did you work with Gary on that?
Not with this programming. No, because usually he's, I think he programs a different type of microcontroller.
Okay.
I've done this before, so I know what I'm doing. He actually was going to have that circuit board, the circuit board down.
Yes.
Said it was done. It looked nice. And that's if he was here, he was going to bring it.
I don't know.
Next week.
He wanted something from me, but I wasn't there.
You want to try it?
And he's not there right now. He's logged in.
See if I get
that. He was said he wanted something, but he didn't say what he wanted. And then I went home. Yeah.
Andy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, so when the car is going to be ready?
Big problem.
When we are going to take a ride?
Rusty said he needs to build it.
I'm not in charge of the car. I'm just in charge of the go-go bits.
Go-go bits. Who's Welby?
I'm not in charge of the car. I'm just in charge of the go-go bits.
I ask
Gary unless Rusty feels up to it.
Yes,
Gary has a welder.
Okay.
In a nice tool shop and he's too well.
Yeah, he's pretty much his own machine shop.
Well, I need to be then friend with Gary.
Yeah, he pretty much can do anything he needs to do.
I mean, yes,
I might need to have some welding done too. You know, so I'd better answer his question.
See, that's why he's making me the circuit board. He feels guilty about asking me all this Linux questions.
But you know, I think that he enjoys running Linux. Unless it is accounting software. It's not that he wouldn't want to, but
yeah, it's kind of difficult in running a business. You're already established. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I didn't really do too much with Linux, just some programming.
Cool, great. How are you?
Nothing terribly new here. I've been pretty busy. The closest I got to Linux is the Mac.
That doesn't equate. That doesn't
further. Apple's evil now. Did you get the memo?
Hey, when you talk about Apple, that this is going to be in the newsletter next week, so this is secret again.
Okay. We won't tell anyone.
iTunes Store shutdown feared. They're saying that they want to bump up the royalty fees. And they're saying we'll just shut down the store.
Requested a 66% increase.
It's 9 cents. from 9 cents to 15 cents.
Yeah, but 66%, that's pretty much a big jump.
Well, it depends how you look at the statistics. You know, if I have one customer and if right now I have two, that's 100% increase in my customers. But I only got one more. We call it statistics. You can look at it any way you want to. So that's next week. That's a secret. Okay. Look at it.
I won't remember.
Cool. Anything else?
That's about
it.
Apple drops the NDA on iPhone for release programs, which is kind of cool, but still a little short of
time. NDA, Master Agreement.
Basically, anybody who's got permission to use the SDK for the iPhone couldn't even tell other people what they were doing.
That's right.
They work with the Xbox, release that.
Do you think it is because of the Android bug?
No, it was going to happen eventually. They're just trying to. I'm guessing that a lot of their patents finally went through, and they're a little less worried from a legal perspective, losing copyright.
I just read quite a few articles about Android was coming out. It was darling of the this week news, and they were saying that Apple. It's not only game in the town right now. Well, it's not going to be. And for developers, Android is a much better platform. So maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't really... When you really think about it, why business would do something when they don't have to? It's most likely competitive advantage. Because otherwise they would do it.
Apple's never been known to be friendly to developers.
Never be friendly to anybody.
Yeah, they want to control the whole environment. That's what they want to do. Which is, in some ways, for them, that's their bread and butter, is making sure everything absolutely works all the time.
You're not supposed to be drinking ginger beer because that has non-Christopher Brown bottle.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I thought they didn't.
I don't think they have it here anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go. That's why I'm not drinking.
No, you wanted that. Sorry to interrupt. Cool. What did I do last week? I didn't do a lot with the Linux. I brew it out of beer. And I stopped in a small brewery in Dallas, Wisconsin. It was a very interesting tour, actually.
Viking
Brewing, yes. And owners were very friendly and showed me around. And it was very cool to actually be there, So that's all what I did. And on Sunday we were cleaning house with the kids, and it was enjoyable, unusual. So that's all what I've done.
I found an interesting article today.
What was that?
In TechNet magazine, which is Microsoft. Microsoft's TechNet is their support magazine, basically, for people and stuff. But within the first five pages there is a full-page advertisement. Not an advertisement. It was just sort of like new software. And they were saying portable. It was an application that made portable apps. You put it on a pen drive and you can carry your portable apps. OpenOffice and some of the other open-source software was in this. Why it was in TechNet really blows my mind, because usually that is straight, hey, Microsoft all the way. It's written by Microsoft, but here was this article on this. I forget what the thing was called.
I've seen that before, where you just can boot right off the pen drive.
And it comes up, it sort of like adds it into the Windows menu, a whole bunch of open source applications. And OpenOffice was in there, and there were a couple other open source stuff.
It just probably slipped by.
I don't know. It was a review on it, is what it was.
At some point, the Microsoft had a store
review.
It's like Microsoft Store, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. at some point they had Ubuntu as a download CD.
That's what it was. It was telling, hey, here's how you can carry your applications with you. Had Thunderbird in there. Had some other ones in there. So I thought, wow, that
did
was
they
really
copy
strange
our CD?
And stuff like that. They might have. They might have.
Cruel. Cruel or cruel? Well,
somebody might have poisoned your copy.
You never know.
Yeah.
with
a Bonzi body. Body.
The equivalent.
And that one is going to be more secure because it's for Microsoft. It'll ask you, allow or deny, maybe. Well, shall we do the newsletter?
Do it up.
Okay. Did anybody read the newsletter? Not everybody?
Didn't get to it today.
Yeah, I don't have your email address. If you want to get a newsletter, send me an email.
Don't just this, because I just pull off the RSS.
These people are so annoying. I want to get their email address and they don't want to tell me. Yes,
you don't get what he's trying to do here. He's trying to get your email address so I can add you to his list.
Yeah, he sells all of our stuff and wants all you
get. That's what it is, actually. That's why we're able to do Software Freedom Day, and we actually didn't do any money collection. It was all the money that I earned on selling Byron's name.
You didn't get much.
Hey, did you give me $20?
No, you want it?
Yeah, absolutely.
See? Oh, come on, you've already broke even.
No, it didn't. It didn't yet.
You'll break even. I got 20.
Cool. And actually, I forgot to send an email on Tuesday. I did a posting, forgot to send email, so I sent it today.
I don't know if anybody wants to see it. This was actually part of the article, but that's the portable apps. It's called portableapps.whatever.
Okay.
And it's got open office Pigeon, Thunderbird, Sunbird, Firefox, KeePass, Cool Player. And it was in the September issue of TechNet.
See, we didn't put a Sudoku on our CD. That's
that would have been
the article is called Toolbox New Products for IT Pros. Take your apps with you. And it was a positive review. It was saying, hey, if you want to take your stuff with you, put it on a thumb drive. And
most of the apps are individually built from portableapps.com, I believe.
Probably.
A whole bunch. It's surprising.
But it was a pretty good article.
No,
they're pretty much all open source software.
Is it just for Windows?
PortableApps.com.
Do you know
what portable apps are? PC and PC.
I use Thunderbird and Firefox every time. I have a custom Firefox build just launched up for security. It kills all the tabs.
You got it.
JavaScript, all that. When I don't trust something, I'll fire that up and check it there first. And of course, it's good to have portable mail client. You can bring it there and check your even file 3. You can keep all the files on. And of course, I'm not going to look better.
See, it has WinSCP.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. You can get like Pinkscape for the others. I think GIMP has a portable version as well. Okay. You have a certain one coming up.
That made sense.
There's just a whole bunch of
stuff on it. Well, it just seems strange. Something like that would appear in a Microsoft.
Well, maybe they don't want to sell their office anymore.
They're trying to look
friendly.
The whole, yeah, they're
friendly,
trying to look
open
source friendly. That was the whole premise
the
behind the Unix.
Which
actually it's out now for Vista 2000 and Server 2008. Yep. You can install a Unix subsystem and it will actually give you a slash... like a root and the slash bar and the slash proc file system.
Okay, the new GNOME 2.24 was released. They say it's an incremental improvement, which is sort of understatement because...
I'm telling him to wait.
Okay, just say whatever you want to say. Go ahead.
No, we have to go into the next article.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you guys are ahead.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit understatement because GNOME is always incremental improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not actually the, anything large milestone. But I think what they added right now, they said mobile development platform. So I don't know if they did a framework for it. So compared with the Qt, there was when we talk about Qt, it was Trolltech, which was called. It got renamed to Qtopia. I think that's what it is. Qtopia. Something like that. Yeah. So never mind. So
it's on here somewhere, is it? Or not? Maybe.
I don't know.
Somewhere.
I don't know if I've put it there.
It's just Qt program, Qt extended.
Here it is. Trolltech to Qtopia. Here it is. Sorry. I was right. You were wrong.
That's okay.
Okay. So is in Intrepid, is there already 2.?
I don't think so.
24?
Yes. Is it? 2.24.0.
Yeah, that would be it.
And I don't notice any difference.
See, it's incremental.
Very incremental.
Cool. So, right now, you guys want to tell us about something?
I got more.
More.
This is like one of the funniest sentences that isn't funny ever. Scroll down a little bit to underneath this picture. Right there, that... No, right underneath the picture, the caption in the picture.
Click to enlarge?
Richard M. Stallman. Click to enlarge. I don't know why. That just struck me as extremely funny. And that's not the enlarged picture. Like, that's your browser making it small. Make it big. Click on the image. No, don't do that. Go back. Go to where you were and click on the image. Just click on the image.
That's a little... That's almost offensive.
How about these teeth? Oh, boy. Let's go back. Well, you know...
Sorry I made you do that.
He's, you know, he's larger than life.
He is.
That's what it was.
I mean, come on. You could set that as your background, and that would be great.
No.
Yeah, just don't wake up and don't look there.
Richard Stallman is watching you.
Yep. So, you know, every movement needs to have a visionary, and I guess he is. And it's 25 years of setting up of GNU project, and because it's such an easy word to say, good marketing there. Just have you guys ever heard him? Talking? No?
Mm-hmm.
At some point he was interviewed and somehow he got annoyed by interviewee and his statement was you are confusing your own question.
Well, no, if people pay the 20s, I can't.
Oh, beautiful. You go. You go. You rock on. So,
what?
Tell me how somebody can be
combining
his own questions. Can you confuse your own question?
Five.
See? So, tools for editing vector graphics in Linux.
Yep.
What do you want to tell us about it? I'll click on more.
Using Inkscape.
It was Inkscape.
It's funny how much it works for
it kind of does have some vector support now, like the selection paths, and then you can sculpt the paths.
That's the whole thing, is saying, if you want to do anything advanced, you have to put it in GIMP. Why are they making an article about
it? Yeah, I don't think they knew how to use vector then.
How about this? Carbon.
It's okay, using Inkscape.
Okay. The Inkscape is on a model.
Inkscape is the tool.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, thank you. So, Inkscape is the tool.
Yep.
Metis Linux 8.0 near release, which I was already
already sort of wondering where the Mephist is. It used to be very friendly, and while it is still probably very friendly distribution, but then it was quite quiet for some time. Here it is. It's coming up again. Here is another article about the Art Music Service, so another...
another one bites the dust.
Store, yeah, and it is Walmart right now. So they are saying the third one, and it is after MSN, Yahoo, right, and Walmart. And guess what? Maybe even iTunes. So how good is DRM?
Choice, yeah.
They got your money, not mine.
Yeah,
and they're saying that all what you need to do is just kind of rebuild your computer. It's gonna be okay.
Oh, wow. No worries.
Yeah. You know, Windows. You know, self-destructing operating system.
As long as you have all your music in your virtual machine, you're set.
Yeah,
and you, that's where you keep all your music, right?
Oh, absolutely. I do everything virtually. I even brew beer virtually. At the house. Oh, boy. What else do we have? There was an article about Fedora. Fedora is going to have a fifth year anniversary. Did anybody read it?
I just browsed through it.
Patience.
Yep, that's about what it says. It takes time to build up a community.
Hey, I'm sorry you asked me earlier.
Cool. So is it distribution for developers?
Are you asking me, telling me, or...
But I think each of
is that... Is, I'm sorry. Is that distribution for developers?
Fedora? You mean, would a developer use Fedora, or is Fedora...
Never mind.
I'm half messing with it.
Yeah, no, you were messing full time.
Only half. The other half, I was trying to understand the question.
I didn't have a question.
You confusing your question.
Yeah. Hey, hold on a second.
I know, you need to put him back in the background.
I can stop now.
I'm just leaving him up now.
Nice meeting you.
In case I need him.
And if somebody's confusing his questions, just show it around. VLC goes to 9.2 release. They are saying that there was a new release of a VLC, and for whatever reason, they're tweeting about it. It has a new pretty thing around. And it's supposed to be improving.
I've got Intrepid and I've got 9.3.
Yeah, I just downloaded 9.3 for OS X.
You guys are leakers. Because this one's from September 26th.
We're ahead. Gotta keep up. Yeah. It's too old.
Too old. Okay, moving on.
How bad was that version if they've already got a 9.3?
Actually, that was...
It's probably just a bug fix.
Yeah.
I had some issues with playlists and stuff.
Works really good.
Great.
It's like because you can right-click on an ISO file. And
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. See, you need to have a different version. It works.
Right. And that has all. And that has all the features.
Every single one I've seen just looks like.
So well, apparently one of the new features is VLC is now bitmap scalable. Like, I think you can even use, like,
I like the totem interface. It just doesn't do everything it has to
do. So make your own. It's just a bitmap.
Zine had some okay stuff, but nobody ever developed anything for it to make it really look good. It worked like a real nice player.
But, you know,
it made it complicated to skin it and stuff.
On the other side, we were able to, the video from Software Freedom Day, we were able to transcode it
to a Windows friendly format.
I used a VLC for that.
Well, I think one of the. Make it really appealing, especially VLC because it's cross-platform. Yes. I mean, both Windows and Linux and stuff, and that would really make it difficult.
That, that might be part of their Mac. Move to QT, yeah. Maybe, was
limited.
Part of Linux to could make be. It easier to do that. Because they were using what, WX widgets, as well as not already
used. But I think that it was actually quite a large release.
Yeah, because they said they added a ton of codecs, yeah. too, yeah. for this release, so it could become a dominant player.
Well, it's the same thing, like, you know, I want one player, which is good, you know, instead of seven, which are mediocre.
Yeah, I always found a little deficient in each one. You know, the hotkeys in one don't work in another one. You know, you have to use buttons for that.
If you could combine just, M player and Zine together, it would be perfect. Because those two will do it all.
Yep.
GStreamer had the right idea, but they made the API so complex that nobody can write stuff for it.
So you need to have another extraction layer.
Yeah, exactly. Everything that I've heard, programmers have tried writing stuff for it, they just give it up and wrote their own because they say it's to the point of observing how complex the API actually is.
That's, you know, the, there was an article about Django of some Linux Sound API Django, you know. So it is, you know, you have this framework and that framework and this framework, and so which one are you going to use?
See, like even here on VLC, I play a video, it expands the window out to play the video, and I hit stop and expands everything back in, so my buttons are always moving back and forth as I play and stop. And you figure I should just keep the window the same size where I want it.
You have your finger exercise.
Yeah, it's not very representative. It just makes it, it, like you say, the user interface isn't all that great.
A lot of times I'll just run the M player from the ground and I'll pass the layer. It's not a good thing to
get here. Yep.
There was an article about DigiCam. It could convert RAW to DNG.
What is DNG? I mean, I assume it's like a PNG. It's just for video.
Here it is, a digital negative. It's a digital dot. And I think that from there you can be converting to whatever you want.
Pull out snapshots. Done the dam and go.
Yes. Yes.
The dam.
So. Great. Yes. Well, you know, if you are not English native, you're just fine.
Yeah, that's my point.
Java Sound Music software for Linux Part 3. Last week we had Part 2. So right now we have Part 3.
Okay. Well, that's fine, you know.
Hey, somebody took our fat penguin here. It's okay. And added something on.
Well, he's not our fat.
Yeah, okay. Okay, somebody stole him again.
I forgot to put my email address in for Holly's photos.
So there is a notation software.
Okay. I mean, you could snag it.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Because it's Linux, because it's Java, as you were saying, it works probably on all platforms.
We're making a video for
the there was an interview with a guy who is writing Ubuntu tweets.
But little do they know that after
people,
they put all the
people to read it.
We're showing a video of how we made them. And Shannon is a nerd and the just
wash
my hands in the
toilet. Well, I think that he is from somewhere from
Asia.
Don't complain, please.
I did read that one, actually.
Jen's
using Ubuntu tweeting. He uses Gentoo now.
Gentoo. He's still writing it.
Yeah, it's still working. I found it a while ago. I like it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
I was just messing with it a minute ago.
Well, actually, there was something when you talk about Gentoo. They were supposed to have released and they called it off. So,
oh my gosh.
Is it like if Gentoo is in trouble or not?
Now,
usually, if you as a distribution, if you call for a release, you try to make it instead of canceling. And if you miss your deadline, okay, so you miss your deadline. So,
it was you either push it back till it's kind of done, like Fedora, or you shove it out the door.
Yeah, but you normally you don't call it off. You don't cancel.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's Linux Sound API Django, guy who's writing. I think at some point he had exchanged with guys from Pulse Audio. He's writing actually what to do. So if you are going to write some audio applications, what to use. So. I'm not going to write anything. So. And it was interesting, you know, that it is a jungle out there. And we have back 21 best free Linux financial software. And wasn't it used to be 41? I think they scaled down to 21. Yeah.
I think it was 21.
Was it? And, so,
I don't know, I didn't look at this one. You gotta have money to use
this. That's sort of true, yes. Why would you need to have money?
I'm still plenty happy with Money Dance.
Money Dance. Still working fine? I don't think Money Dance is here because you have to.
It's Java.
Hmm? And you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have money to run Money Dance. And then you dance with the money.
Was that a whole $20 or something?
15. Was it 15?
I thought it was 40 and it was 20 after you gave me the special code.
Oh, and you didn't give me
$20. I didn't give you the $20 that I saved.
See, I'm just $20 puller here.
Yeah. I gave you $20 worth of bottles to put your beer into.
I'll
be call it even.
I'll be quiet then. And then we're talking about Nokia renamed Trolltech to Qtopia.
I'm going to look up stuff on Panama.
And
do they actually have a useful phone out now?
Excuse me?
Or is it still development? Is this thing, they have a useful phone out that's...
The Android?
No,
this was a different one.
No, this is Qt toolset.
Didn't they have that oval phone? Or was that a different company?
That was Moco, OpenMoco.
Oh, that was OpenMoco. Okay.
OpenDNS is working well.
Cool.
So you guys know.
Great.
Thanks to Elliot.
You know, those open source tools, you know, they were in there one way.
You guys should look up Alice.
What about?
I'm reading a book about a professor who was doing virtual reality.
I think I've seen that, like,
and it's,
a couple years ago, actually.
They make it for Windows, Unix, or Linux. And Mac, and that was it's Alice.org. It's all a virtual interface to doing virtual reality or type storyboarding things. And I messed with it for a little bit. It's pretty interesting.
A new way to teach programming.
And they've got a middle school-like version, so you can teach younger kids with
it. Is it like a programming language?
Well, you don't even see me. You can go into the language. But for example, like, I took one where you put the scenery of an ocean up, and then I took a person and put them floating in the ocean, and then I put a shark in there. And then I told the shark to go this far and to flip its head, and the person sinks, and the skeleton comes up, and then the boat comes out. And all of that's done by dragging and dropping the pictures, so telling you how far to move without even an internet program.
Is it actually writing code underneath?
Yeah, and then you can go into that code if you choose to fine-tune it. But the guy that, if you scroll to the bottom, Carnegie Mellon, is the university he worked at. He was their virtual reality professor, and he recently died of pancreatic cancer, so this is one of the projects that he had done. And so in his memory, they're enhancing it and and giving it away. Still a
fool?
Yeah, you see a memory of Randy Pausch right above that.
What was he, the last lecture guy?
Did you read that?
I watched some of it on YouTube.
Was that the guy who had the terminal illness?
Yeah. Somebody's forcing me to read it, and it's really difficult for me because I have a terminal illness.
Yeah.
But
I'll put it in a newsletter.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool little tool.
Cool. Thank you.
Ready?
Thank you very much.
I've come across some more open source tools, I'll be sure to let you know.
That sounds good.
Actually, I came across a flowcharting one. Not a flowcharting one. You know Visio? Microsoft Visio?
Yeah.
I found a comparable tool that does the same thing.
Well, that'd be cool.
What is the name of it?
I have to look on it.
I know about two. One is Dia, the other one is Umbrella.
Dia?
Just ask. It's okay.
Yeah, I do.
What do you do?
I switch to
another blank desktop,
and there's Stallman staring right at me.
You will not be able to sleep tonight. Actually,
I'm going to print that out and put it like on my ceiling. On the picture people at work, what we did. Okay, so we used WebLogic, and in WebLogic they had a demo program that actually had like had the forehead, eyes, and nose, and the mouth of different people, and you could
switch them around. Oh, that's cool.
So I printed them out, and we put them on a board with like some Velcro, and then
let people move things around.
Yeah, and one of my coworkers printed out his picture from the org chart. And it is in there. So I printed my picture from the org chart. So now we're mixing and matching pieces from the org chart.
Oh, that's scary.
Different people. Oh, they look so funny.
Actually, you know, when you have, you're talking about it, a lot of the time the police, they have database of large sets of eyes and noses.
That's exactly.
And then you flip through them and
yes,
you try again.
Oh, sort of,
that is exactly what it looks like, too. It looks like a mugshot.
Well, we have lots of how-tos this week. We have, Hello?
What?
Still working with Stallman?
The CEO is, actually a Windows program.
Yes.
Microsoft program.
He was going to show me something.
That's even worse. That's even nice.
So I'm going to show us?
Do I not have it? Maybe I don't. I will in a second.
What am I doing? Dancing bears?
It's not interesting. You can go on.
Okay, we have lots of how-tos. We have VirtualBox headless running virtual machine with a VirtualBox 2.0 on Ubuntu server, which is nice because if you are running virtual machine, you really don't want to have overhead of desktop. Turn your touchpad off and on with the shortcut key in Kubuntu. So I guess it is probably just the key binding. Install VMware Server 2 on... Oh, VMware Server 2 was released, if somebody cares.
I've been running it for a while.
How's running?
It's running very well. It's not chewing up too many resources. I am having some crashes in Firefox where it will freeze the browser. So
does it work through Opera?
I tried it in Opera.
No, didn't try Opera?
It'll if I just go into like the, because it's all a web interface now, if I go into the web interface, it works fine. Something goes weird when you launch the plugin to get the screen for your virtual terminal, what do they call it? Like a
RDP screen or what?
Whatever.
The virtual terminal.
You have to install like a 20 megabyte plugin, and it's a program to get the monitor to your virtual machine. When I launch one of those, the web browser will hang in like 3 or 4 minutes of use unless I shut it down quick. So there's some strange interaction.
Why is VMware so big?
It's like, yeah, it's almost 600 megabytes.
Yeah.
VirtualBox is 17 megabytes.
Well.
They've got Java package, Tomcat packaged in there, you've got your...
I don't remember VMware being that big.
The previous version was always large. It was always about 150
megabytes. Yeah, it's 150 megabytes of the server.
Yeah, okay.
VirtualBox is
Yes, virtual box.
20 or 30.
Yeah, 20 or 30, yes.
They also include, well, the console in there, but the VirtualBox will have that. They also have a web interface for statistics on all the VMs that you have.
Web interface, I mean, right.
It's not heavy on the graphics, but it's got all the, probably the hooks into getting all the metrics off of the VMs and stuff.
I don't know, it's still not convincing.
See, I'm trying to think what else they would have on there.
Their networking is way better than...
Way better. They have, and they have... Does VirtualBox have USB support?
Yes.
Okay.
It's still not convincing me.
VirtualBox.
They probably aren't clean. I mean, very clean and stuff like that. But they definitely have all the plugins for all the VM moving and all the interfacing that VMware has and stuff. So, yeah, I would say no, they're not as clean, but there's definitely more features, but nothing that... Not the
much better performance. I was running my server in a VirtualBox, and every week or so, something would flake out, and it would just start chewing RAM.
I would think a VirtualBox would be much faster, just being that it's a smaller, VM being a little heavier and stuff. But
I'm running VMware server on my server, and I don't think it's using that much resources. So
the one thing that VM server does do is it will go after your hypervisor level if you've got it enabled on your CPU. So if your CPU supports hypervisor, it will does that too and stuff.
They've got the hook-ins. I use VirtualBox on here just because it's more of a workstation oriented.
Yep. Yes.
But the server one, I think it's much more stable. And I've had better luck with it with just letting it run for weeks at a time than I did
left.
Using VirtualBox. When I
Very right.
And when we talk about the VMware server, the One series had another release, and it's 1.0.7.
Bye, David.
I wonder if that's the one I'm running at work right now.
I'm running .6 and .7.
Yep.
I just saw it.
That's what. That's the version I'm running at work.
Oh, another one. Okay.
Oh dear.
What is how to control Apache with there was a tool. Command line tool, and one of the things what I was saying that you can actually set up your Apache and you can point to the setup file what I'm working with, if it's production, I don't know. There's a tool you can use, command line tool to set up your
computer file for production. I'm happy they made that change about that.
Yeah.
I will.
Lucky.
It's their problem.
Yep.
My ANT scripts are running fabulously.
Which one?
My ANT scripts.
ANT scripts.
I haven't had to touch production with an FTP program. So.
Ooh. What else do we have there? Mounting ISO images with, say that.
Furious.
ISO mount on Ubuntu. Installing Google Android SDK. 1.0 on Ubuntu desktop.
I haven't done it yet, but I gotta get around to it. So,
can you install it on Fedora?
I think I'm probably too lazy to switch in the near future.
Android SDK. I was looking at that. It's pretty much just a plugin for Eclipse.
Yes, it's all Java.
Is it a standard Java? So if I write something for Android, will it run somewhere else?
They've got a custom API or something for it. So.
Yeah.
It's got hooks into the GPS and the camera.
If you layered it properly, you probably could get away with writing a application that would run on both, but you would have to do some planning.
I just want to take our forecasting application and put it on Android.
You might be able to write an interface layer for that.
No, that is just a bad joke. Never mind. Let's keep on moving. Easy file upload with Droopy. I think Droopy is the service.
I showed that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Tell me what it is again.
It's a one script website that allows you to upload a file to your PC.
And actually in your home directory, it creates a directory.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is just like extend file system to it. What is the size of 20 gig?
But no, you give it the directory, and it will put it in that directory.
Yes, but what is the size of the server? Because if the server is somewhere on a cloud.
No, we must be talking about the different things then. Click on that once.
Oh, no. Can't do that.
I think Drupal is
Drupal. Support someone, send you a large file.
Basically, what it is they come to your, you run this one script, it produces a website at a particular port you specify. When someone goes to that website, we've talked about this. It just gives you a one-liner item. Say, browse your PC, you put in the any size file, and it will send it to that server.
Oh, cool.
But it is. It's just a one-file script. Perl, I think. Does it say Perl? Perl? I think it's a Perl script.
Perl can do anything.
Perl, yeah. You just can't read it.
I mean, Perl's not meant to be read.
It's an execute Python. Cool.
And it works.
So you tried it?
Yep.
I don't want to do that. I want to scroll down here. What else we have? Set up Yahoo Zimbra desktop on Ubuntu. That's probably, Zimbra desktop. So you don't have to have a web interface. You can have also the client interface. It is, actually, I would say that it is probably the, what do you call it, the Prism application.
Okay.
So they wrote the same application. It runs in a browser or as a client. Hello? Welcome back.
Same application, browser, or as a client.
Love you too.
So does it duplicate a lot of what Google Apps does and whatnot?
The Zimbra is your, how do you call it, not communication suite, collaboration suite. So Zimbra is actually your FTP, the mail server, your calendar.
See, but yeah, it's...
Show me the teeth.
What? Google's trying to get into all that, and the Zoho thing, the article, and when I finished reading it...
Oh, that's next week material again.
Again?
We cannot talk about stuff like that.
Well, anyways, it came down to it that there's a lot of stuff out there, there's a lot of other neat things, but the Google stuff just seems to work. They may not have all the bells and whistles. And they might be, you know, collecting your data, sending you ads.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing too with collecting email addresses. And I'm selling it. I didn't make a dime so far, but that's what I'm planning to do. Your data is secure with me. Not confusing your own question. Cool. What else we have there? Getting access to home server despite having dynamic IP address. So somebody's talking about Dyn DNS and how to set it up, I think. They talk about this DD client, so you need to run DD client or then your server.
Are they having you actually install it by hand?
Yes, I think so.
You can go to Aptitude, install DD client.
That's probably what it is. And then here's the configuration of the DD client. I never did it.
If you do it through Aptitude, it'll actually walk you through a little wizard.
Oh, does it?
At the command line, a little setup wizard for it.
A lot of routers nowadays will even do that for you.
Especially when you're running DDWRP.
That's what I've got running at home.
But even just the software that comes on the router even does it.
Yep. You just give it to your login and stuff like that, and it'll take care of refreshing it every 30 days and stuff like that.
Never mind.
Sorry, I can't give it to you.
I'm sure he has. He doesn't
remember. He set it up once, and that's
it. No, he is using He's using his keys, but he didn't regenerate.
I regenerate all my keys.
Cool.
So they're all completely regenerated.
Good to know.
I downloaded some new keys for the new repositories.
Good.
Because I wasn't getting updates anymore. I'm like, why am I? Oh, that's right. All right, new key.
Didn't we talk about it?
Yeah, we talked about it. I didn't listen.
I didn't listen. Do you ever?
So Zimbra is just kind of like an Outlook replacement type?
Zimbra is actually, yes, it's your backend as well as front end. Yes. A lot of people like it.
Does it interface with anything besides Yahoo?
No. It's mail on its own. It's a mail server.
It runs its own mail server.
It's its own mail server.
So you would set it up with like a dynamic DNS? So except, or do you, can it act as a client to like a POP3 or IMAP?
No, it is full feature mail server, as well as then you have full feature clients.
Right. Do you, would you be able to set that up with dynamic DNS then to be able to?
I don't know, probably, right. Maybe. But it is not slouch. It is, it can handle 10,000 mailboxes. It is actually the big, the full-feature mail server.
Well, it looks like the link from the newsletter looks like you enter in like a Yahoo mail account. Well, this is set up with a Gmail account.
That's your client.
This is just the client then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not actually installing server. You are just installing client.
I see.
So you are putting whatever address you have.
Is there a web based client for Zimbra, so you wouldn't have to install anything in your
I don't think so, yes. And that's what I was saying, that I think it is written in Prism with a Prism. So the same code runs as a client or as a desktop?
Cool.
Oh, client or the in a browser. How's the movie?
So far so good.
Good.
No stalls.
VLC
was stalling out. No, I was trying the new VLC and I kept on stalling. For no reason, nothing, no activity or anything, just stall.
Well, because they were copyright warnings.
Yeah,
I'm confusing your question.
What's that?
Yes.
There was another quite interesting article about recovering deleted files with Foremost and alcohol tools. Did anyone look at it?
I've been covered in the blood.
It is actually very good.
Well, I earned $50 away fixing somebody's hard drive, so.
Oh, how did you fix the hard drive?
It was an external hard drive, and basically it comes up, nothing there to recognize, you want me to format it, so the partition table is gone.
Okay.
So I tried several Windows utilities and stuff, none of them could fix it, and then I used, there's a test disk. Linux program that you just tell it, well, I believe it was this kind of partition. It goes out there and searches the whole hard drive. Yeah, I see a partition out there. Do you want me to take the backup copy and put it on top of the primary? Did it. The whole thing came back.
NTFS?
This was a FAT32. This was a 320 gig external drive, the iBooks.
Was it able to restore the data then?
Yep, all the data came right back just like that. Basically, the primary partition got killed.
The data never left.
The data never left. The backup partition was over. But none of the other Windows tools worked, but the Linux one did it right away.
I know the NTFS had a backup partition at the end of the drive.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It has a backup partition?
Yes. The partition is actually duplicated once at the beginning, once at the end.
Partition table?
The partition table.
Okay, the backup partition table.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one is backing up your OS via DD.
I've used DD quite often. So pen drives and different things. Do they run it through compression on here?
Yeah.
It's quite a long article.
I did the whole HP server with RAID and stuff, and it worked really well. I did a test restore too, and it worked just fine.
That's
how when my external drive got corrupted, I did a DD on it down to an 80 gig image, and then I used test disk to go through and pull everything off of it that I could find.
Really?
And I don't think I lost anything.
Test disk?
So,
what was that program yet?
Did that backup? Did you use one of those tricks to write all zeros to the drive?
Yes, I had to do that, and it was still a fairly fresh drive, so it really only changed the size maybe by 10%. Well, actually, it changed it quite a bit. It didn't change it that much, but it was quite a bit smaller either way, because it still uses the gzip in there, and it compressed it pretty good. After I wrote zeros to it, I did it again, and it was only like 10% difference. Wasn't that big of a deal.
Zero out all the free space?
Yeah.
And
that's why they say these utilities, DD is a lot slower than Ghost, because Ghost knows that anything beyond the partitions, ignore them.
Search the left side, DD
won't. And so,
I think it was there.
But if you put zeros in there. Never tried it on the EXT3 partition. This was going after a pure Windows server. And it worked really well. So I basically booted Ubuntu off a key on the drive and then did all the commands and stuff.
Set it up with the network and then copied the DD over to the network.
Yeah.
Drive the network share.
And it worked just fine. And that was a HP DL380 server with like three drives in a RAID 5 configuration and stuff. And restored it and it came all back. Including partitions, boot partitions, and all that.
So was it just a command you used?
Yeah, command is real easy. It's fun.
Such a trick. What you do is you just write all zeros to a file, and then eventually the drive gets full, and then you just delete the file.
You basically, it's a copy command, copy to this file. And there's actually a zero. It's like a null zero type thing. And you don't put any size to it, so it just starts writing to that file. And it continues on forever. And finally, it fills up your entire hard drive, and then you just blow that file away. And now you've just zeroed out the entire...
In the dev directory, there's
one thing, though. The one thing with journaled file systems, that won't ever really zero out the whole file system.
Not the whole thing, but... it'll get close enough for this purpose. Because,
yeah.
I mean, when you delete it, you're obviously going to unzero all.
Yeah, and they put the delete can't command in one big thing, so it's just one command, you let it run, and when it gets done, it's also gone again, but now it's all zeroed out. So it's really only really two commands, one to zero out the stuff, and then the other one is just to DD and gzip your hard drive.
Depending on your file system, there are commands that can do that. I don't think there's one for EXT3, but I think for XFS you can actually clear out the
free space.
So where's EXT4? Is it coming soon?
EXT4? I think it is in the kernel already.
Yeah.
Beta, the test version of it?
Yeah.
No, it's in a 27 kernel already. You can use it. The new Ubuntu?
I don't know if I'd use it. There.
I'm not going to use it, but if you look here.
I didn't think it was in beta yet.
No, it is released.
Here it is. Let's see.
Or you can use that Ubuntu with a Solaris
project 0, which is a 0 byte, 1 byte.
Stable version,
it's just
yet
a file.
To be released.
And then you just say just an
8-meg
size sector, and that's the end of the command. If you just let that run, it will grow continuously.
Just
put zeros in continuously, right? And then you just tack on the remove delete me, and you just zero it all out. And then there's the. There's the command. This is the RAID. And they've got some other things like sync, which means you always write it out every single time you got the data. Don't cache it or anything.
Right.
Nowhere or whatever. And then pipe it to gzip and run it to a file. And that will
save
your entire...
So are you running a RAID 5?
Yeah, this is a RAID 5.
So then you're only copying your two data drives then, basically?
I'm copying the two part.
Because it's two data partitions in a pair.
See, I'm talking. Give me to shut it down.
So then it's just copying the two
partitions. The two partitions, and the C drive is boot partition.
So I think we have ended the recording.
Okay.
So thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.
We need a thing.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net. So head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.